Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Top of the morning to ye on this gray, drizzly afternoon. Kent O'Brockman, live on Main Street, where today everyone is a little bit Irish, except, of course, for the gays and the Italians.
Why did that sound like Hotline Bling? That can only mean one thing. That can only mean one thing. Ever since I met the city, you. What the f***? Drake stole from Banjo-Kazooie!
Boys, the main train's on its way. In the meantime, here's some cheese. Don't fill up on cheese. Boys, that main's not far off. Get bloody ready, all right?
I can't.
Can't what?
Eat dinner. I filled up on cheese.
Ain't all the cheese, did you?
Yeah, mate, I don't know, I was feeling hungry. Now I'm all filled up.
Did you have the brie?
Yeah, I had a little brie, mate.
Good. Did you have the Mercy Valley Plowman's cheddar cheese?
Yeah, mate.
They're Kraft singles, too. I put them out as a joke. I think I remember saying, don't fill up on cheese. Maybe I didn't say it, maybe I'm the one going crazy.
You left it all out, Nick, and I just...
Oh, main course not good enough for you, mate. Not good enough.
It was me, mate. I filled up on it for just a second.
What about you, mate?
What's wrong, mate? Tell me, mate. Tell me. I just want you to tell me, mate. You'll feel fed up. You been to the movies lately? Captain Marvel's good. Who plays her? Larson. What's her name?
Brie.
Brie, yeah, that's right. Brie Larson.
Brie, damn it. It's a kind of cheese.
I've had any cheese.
You're a hungry boy.
I reckon I've got room for a main meal.
You've got room for a main.
Yeah, that's good.
You stuck into that brie, mate.
You been talking to the cops, mate?
I have the cheese!
What do we do now, boys? What do we do now?
I can't find my girlfriend's clitoris. And I suspect it's because I've been looking in the wrong vaginas.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Man.
Afternoon delight.
Everybody. Everybody get naked. Come on, don't be stuck up. It's going to be great.
Well, why not?
This party's just getting started!
Maybe we shouldn't have kids.
Yeah, like we'd make good parents anyway. We are way too irresponsible.
We could never be good parents, not with the way you drink.
Exactly.
So, it's decided then?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's decided. We don't want kids. All right, you heard her. Get the fuck out of here on the double.
Hey, Mom, on TV.
Hey, where's that weather check?
This is some wicked party, eh?
Hey, have you seen Sully?
Get away from there. Hey, I need a pencil. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing is a total disregard for the things St. Patrick's Day stands for. All this drinking, violence, destruction of property. Are these the things we think of when we think of the Irish?
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Martini Studios in Ontario, California, it's the Fubar Show!
Hey, what is up, everyone? I am Joe C.
And I'm Jeff.
Thank you all so very much for listening to the Fubar Show, and a special thanks to you Boos to subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow Boos. Remember to pick up some swag at FubarShow.com. That's FOOBarShow.com, and follow FOOBarShow on all of our socials, and we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. Ain't that right, Steph?
That's right.
And I'm pretty excited for today's show, Steph. You want to know why?
Oh, why?
Because we just finished watching the Oscars, man.
That's right.
You put me through that. You put me all the way through that.
You know,
it didn't suck. It didn't suck like other years where it was just a bunch of, like, you know, these really pretentious speeches that people give and you know, a lot of eye rolling going on from my end of the couch.
I think for me this year, Jimmy Kimmel did a good job.
He always does a good job. At least a fair to Midland, which is really what we ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kept us entertained. He had a few good jokes popped in there.
He really gave it to Matt Damon once again.
In classic Jimmy Kimmel fashion.
Yeah, that's on brand for Jimmy.
But I felt like this Oscar presentation, we were just waiting for our movie to win. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah, and didn't I call it? Didn't I call it in February or late January even of last year where I said, on this podcast, I said, that movie is the best movie of 2022, hands down.
It was
just January, February of 2022, and I was already calling it, and God damn it, was I right.
It was a movie that was in limited release.
Mm-hmm.
Not even widespread until later on in the year.
Which isn't that how A24 rolls? Like all of their movies are semi-indie-ish, right?
Yeah.
Low budgety, but like their storylines are rather good.
Yeah, I think they're becoming more popular now.
Yeah.
Especially, they kept promoting A24 with all their Oscar speeches. A24 is like, oh, now we're going to see a lot more production coming out of there.
Oh, yeah. They just cashed in a few paychecks. Didn't M3GAN, isn't that an A24 film?
I think it's Universal.
Really? Huh.
Could be wrong.
Seems like it would be. A23? Anyway, what's that other one with Florence Pugh? The one we saw where they go out in Europe and they do this... you know, they take shrooms, people kill people. Come on, we saw the movie.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God damn
God
it.
God damn it.
Look this up.
Already, we haven't
even... That's an A24 film.
We are not even 10 minutes into this pod and we can't remember shit.
What's in that tiki glass?
Water.
Oh, whatever. Midsummer. Yeah, that's an A24 film. And they've been doing a lot of those weird films. A24 films, and I think it's just on brand for them.
What movie did you say where I was supposed to look up? Fuck, I forgot already.
I didn't
cancel.
I didn't say anything like that. I just said, oh, M3GAN. Yeah, M3GAN. Come on, Steph. I was trying to bring this back to life, and you went ahead and
Killed it with your search. What are you finding over there?
Yeah, you're right.
It's an A24 film?
Everything you need to know about A24's new liminal space horror movie, The 17-Year-Old Behind the Creepy...
We need to be able to hear you here, Steph.
it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I told you, it's a Universal movie.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good God. Bringing this podcast here screeching home. Anyway, since we're talking about the Oscars, let's go ahead and talk about who won. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I pulled it up right here where I got a few of the winners. And let's see. Winners and nominees for this year. So, obviously, Best Picture was Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you don't know that by the time that this podcast airs... You're living under a freaking rock. But the front runners, I mean, look at all the other ones that were going around that were like nominees. Top Gun Maverick. This one I'm not too familiar with. Women Talking. I'm not familiar with this one either. The Banshees of Inisherin. I just learned about that one today.
The Colin Farrell movie?
Yeah, I guess he's in it. Triangle of Sadness, The Fablemans, All Quiet on the Western Front, which we saw yesterday.
Right.
All 2.5 hours of that. That was a good movie. Although, I gotta say, what's that other movie that came out last year?
1918,
I thought was not a much superior movie, but I did enjoy that one a little bit better. And I think it was because of the awesomeness of it all being shot on one shot. There was zero cuts in that movie.
They made it seem that way. But yeah, obviously for continuity reasons.
Uh-huh.
They had to edit it all together. But I felt like All Is Quiet was a solid war movie. Mm-hmm. Very trench warfare.
Yeah. And looking at it from the German side of things.
Yes. World War One.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Avatar, Way of Water was a part of those. Elvis, which I liked it, but I didn't. Did you think it was Oscar worthy?
Parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Not, you know, definitely not Best Picture, mm-hmm. I don't think.
And another one called Tar, T-A-R.
That's with Kate Blanchett, and she is a conductor, music conductor.
Okay.
Not train conductor, if that's what you were thinking.
Right.
Although she can still get a few toot toots in.
Best Actor. Brendan Fraser, your boy, George of the Jungle, won for that one.
Oh my God, how satisfying was it to see him win that?
That was good. That was good, man. You know, what a comeback that guy's made ever since he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I mean, I know that we've been watching him on Doom Patrol, but that's a great departure from this movie where he just won an Oscar from.
Right.
Best Actress, Michelle Yeoh. Best International Feature Film, All Quiet on the Western Front. You know, considering, and you know, also I haven't heard of these other ones. Argentina 1985, The Quiet Girl, Close, and EO. Apparently EO is about a donkey, and I think that just makes too much sense.
Ah.
The best original song was Natu. Couldn't tell you where that's from. Best supporting actress was Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once with a big old hot dog fingers.
Right.
Making you poop with a yogurt too.
We need to buy those hot dog fingers. Start typing, just take it to work. Blah, 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 blah.
Nothing will get done. Now, can you believe this, Steph? Now, we haven't seen it, so we don't know how good it really is, but the best animated feature was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
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 Yeah. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. I've always said it in Spanish. That's why I say it like that. Live action short film, An Irish Goodbye. Another one I've never heard of.
A lot of these movies nobody's heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are like a real big movie buff, which none of us are.
Right.
Going into this podcast.
Well, you know what's nice about these kinds of lists is that you then discover these movies and then you go watch them. Also, that's another kind of thing about the Oscars that I've always appreciated. You know, they've exposed me to maybe some movies that aren't really putting billboards and commercials on TV.
Right. Because we only do the streaming services with no ads. We don't listen to the radio, so we don't have these movies coming at us.
The only ads that we really get are whatever we scroll through on like Instagram or TikTok or anything.
Yeah,
like
somebody
that.
Share something with us.
Mm-hmm. Best actor was best director was the directors for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert.
The Daniels.
The two Daniels. Best supporting actor was Ki Hui Kwan.
Short round.
Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones. That entire goddamn Indiana Jones movie was just that goddamn kid just screaming.
There's already like side-by-side comparison of him in the movie, 1984, hugging Dr. Jones, and then
Harrison Ford.
Both of them on the Oscar stage,
yeah,
hugging each other.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And Steven Spielberg was there, which I think it wasn't in this ceremony, but in a previous, I don't know, it could have been Golden Globes. Steven Spielberg said that he was proud to see him up there. Awards and stuff, because, you know, Steven Spielberg directed Indiana Jones. So,
of course.
Best documentary film. Here's one I've never heard of. Navalny. 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 Best adapted screenplay. Women Talking. Best documentary. The Elephant's Whispers. Best original screenplay. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best visual effects, Avatar. Kind of saw that one coming. They were pretty impressive. Best animated short film, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse. Best original score, All Quiet on the Western Front, which there wasn't much to it. It's like three big notes throughout the whole movie.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wah. Wah.
Yeah, anyway, people enjoyed it, I guess. Best cinematography, All Quiet on the Western Front. I thought it was pretty impressive cinematography. Yeah. A lot of practical effects that went into that, I understand. Best makeup and hairstyling was The Whale. I guess it takes a lot to make somebody look like they're 600 pounds. Best costume design, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got a couple Oscar nods, but they got the best costume.
The best film editing went to Everything Everywhere All at Once, Paul Rogers. Best production design, All Quiet on the Western Front. Best sound was Top Gun. Can't hate that.
They actually recorded real jets for that sound process.
Yeah. And, you know, the other ones in that nominee, and this is the last one, was All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, Elvis, and The Batman, if you can believe it, for best sound.
Because they had that car chase.
Yeah.
With the big rigs.
Yeah. That thing was well put together, I got to say. The sound that went into that movie was really good. I just wish I didn't hear that goddamn Nirvana song throughout the entire
movie. Every 10 minutes.
Not to say that I hate that song. It was just, after a while, it's just like, all right, already.
You think that's what's playing in his head the entire time?
Maybe.
Because.
Something in the way.
When I hear a song that I really like or I can't get enough of, I'm singing to myself constantly. I wonder if, you know, Batman thinks like that too.
Yeah, maybe.
Like early Batman, before he actually starts talking to himself.
Yeah, Nevermind probably just came out back in the early 90s there. Because that's an early 90s version of Batman, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Anyway, so those were the Oscars, man. If you didn't watch them, now you don't have to, because we just told you who won. Spoiler alert. But, you know, based on everything that I've discovered this evening watching the Oscars, I'm probably going to want to check out those other movies that everybody's clamoring about.
Some of those movies are on Netflix or HBO Max and Amazon Prime.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have homework.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to it eventually, I'm sure. There's a few. We haven't even seen Ant-Man, dude. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. That's one that we haven't seen. Now, the audience is giving it decent scores, but the critics really kind of shat on it. So, I don't know. Do you think that we might still make it out to the movie theater and watch that one, Steph?
At this point, several other things are going to start coming out, right? Mm. And
take priority. We'll catch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's going to be a rather short episode. We got a quick geeking out. We got a quick music news. So let's just get into it, huh?
Let's do it.
Eh. Well, as we've done in other previous episodes, Steph, I want to get this started with a little fatalities.
Fatality.
And we've lost some people in the last couple of weeks. We didn't do one last week, but not a whole lot has been going on, which is a good thing. You don't want to see a whole lot of fatalities, especially from people that really kind of made an impact in society, sports, movies, all that stuff. So first and foremost, you know, just recently we lost Robert Blake. And, you know, he was most recently in the news because he was acquitted in his wife's murder. He was 89 when he just passed away this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember that?
Remember.
That was a whole thing.
That was quite a big story.
Yeah, it was.
We all forgot about that.
Yeah. And, I mean, people were divided on whether or not he did it. You know, and he was in that movie where it says, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. And, you know, everybody just kind of ran with that.
He did it.
Ironic. You think he did it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Hall of Fame coach Bud Grant, who led the Minnesota Vikings to 4 Super Bowls, died this week as well. We also lost Gary Rossington. Do you know who Gary Rossington is, Steph?
No.
He was the last surviving member of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
No way.
We have no surviving members of Lynyrd Skynyrd anymore. And you know how, like, they, you would see Lynyrd Skynyrd pop up every now and then and do concerts, and very little of those people on stage were like part of the original one. And if that continues, like, it's just at this point, it's just a franchise thing, just making money for the families and the performers at this point. But what do you think? Should they continue playing shows as Lynyrd Skynyrd? Maybe as a tribute?
Why not continue as Lynyrd Skynyrd, especially if some of those band members have been with the band for many, many years, mm-hmm, and have, you know, embedded themselves in that band?
Yeah, yeah.
There's times where, you know, bands lose a member and they still continue,
mm-hmm,
as the same entity. And like Unwritten Law, there's no original members of that band and they're still touring.
Sort of. I mean, Scott, the singer, is probably as close as you can get to an original member, although he wasn't the original vocalist of that band, but he is the first vocalist to record an album with that band. So technically, he's the only one left.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to see it that way. And then lastly, we also lost Tom Sizemore on March 2nd. He was young. He was only 61.
Why is they're so young?
I know. And, you know, he's known from his part over, like, in, was that movie Saving Private Ryan? He, mm-hmm, was in a lot of great movies. He apparently died peacefully in his sleep while his brother and twin sons were by his side. It was following a brain aneurysm.
Oh,
so that got him. That really, really got him. Mm-mm. And yeah, man. So all these people will be missed. And I hope the list isn't so long in next week's fatalities.
Fatality.
But anyway, moving on here. I wanted to just do a quick recap on the Mandalorian. Now, if you're watching it, great. Some people are reporting that it's kind of off to a slow start. I think it's required, considering we need to learn a little bit more of the backstory of Mandalore, why he's going back, why he needs to seek absolution, and so that he can become an actual legit bona fide Mandalorian again in the eyes of his fellow clansmen. Because not all Mandalorians follow the way, you know, that him and his group does.
The Watch.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They totally said it in the recap.
Thanks, Steph.
You're welcome.
But anyway, I wanted to get a timeline of the history of the Mandalorians. Now,
okay.
I found this on Instagram, and I think I shared this with you a few days ago. It was posted by the First Galactic Empire on Instagram. And now they describe the time, because it's, you know how, like, here in this world, we have BC and AD to describe, you know, timelines in our history before Christ and after whatever the fuck, right?
I believe death. They changed it now. You know
before
what it
the
is?
The Common Era before, and then yeah, Common Era. Common right. Era. But it still delineates the year zero as, you know, the birth of Christ. That's kind of how, like, our society has done the timelines. But anyway, here, for the purposes of understanding what the hell we're talking about, they go by BBY. BBY stands for Before the Battle of Yavin. The Battle of Yavin refers to the climactic battle over the moon of Yavin 4, where Luke shoots a proton torpedo down the Death Star's exhaust port in the original Star Wars film. So that is their year zero. That's when history begins, or at least for us Star Wars fans, that's where kind of everything is revolved around.
Okay.
So it kind of gives you some perspective, right? So we're going back, way back. We're going back to, and none, these years apparently are not approximate. It's just what these nerds ended up putting together based on all of the writings that we know of so far. You know, because there's books, comic books.
There's like 40 years of material that they have to pull from.
Mm-hmm. And this particular page on Instagram has very neatly organized them for us in the best way possible.
What is the page?
It's called The First Galactic Empire.
Okay.
On Instagram. So, back 9,991 BBY, the Mandalorians established themselves on Mandalore. They are known as warriors and gain reputation for becoming bounty hunters. And then skipping a little bit, more than just a little bit, but like over 5,000 years, in the year 4,000 BBY, Mandalorian crusades begin. They establish the Mandalore sector and expand into the Inner Rim. In the year 3976 BBY, Mandalorian Jedi War begins as Mandalorians push into Republic territory. Mandalorian fighting adapts to the Jedi Force skills. And then in the year 1050 BBY, Tare Vizsla, a Mandalorian Jedi, is inducted to the Order as a child and then goes on to create the Darksaber to differentiate. To differentiate himself from normal Jedi. So he's the first and maybe only, as far as we know, Jedi Mandalorian or Mandalorian Jedi. And then a few years goes by, in the year 1035 BBY, members of the House Vizsla infiltrate the Jedi Temple on Coruscant and steal the Darksaber in order to unite Mandalore. So they cause some shit. Now, there's a cataclysmic event that turns Mandalore into a lifeless desert due to a nonstop war. The year of that is unknown. Also unknown is when, and we saw this in the most recent episode of The Mandalorian, where he goes back to Mandalore. Mandalorians built dome cities on Mandalore. Other clans leave the planet fully to Concord, Dawn, or Crown Set. And we saw that when he was approaching it. You see all these domes and shit like that. So that's kind of establishing that. Now we're getting closer to year zero. The year 200 BBY, the Mandalorians remain relatively peaceful during the High Republic, not engaging in many conflicts. The year 42 BBY, Mandalorian Civil War begins, just as Duchess Satine and her peaceful ideals win. Warrior clans are exiled to Concordia. In the year, the same year, 42 BBY, in the Civil War, Jango Fett acquires the Mandalorian armor we see him using. So that would have been what, episode 2? Attack of the Clones?
He already had that armor.
Okay. So because this is before that
thing. He was the OG.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's what everybody's based on.
Yeah.
Well, Boba Fett is a clone, really, of Jango.
Yeah.
Yeah. Satine rebuilds this is the year 25 BBY. Satine rebuilds Mandalore and forms the Mandalorian Government Council. Mandalore becomes a prosperous and peaceful society. And now we're getting into some Clone Wars stuff. The year 22 BBY, the Clone Wars begin. Satine declares neutrality and joins the Council of Neutral Systems. And then shit goes down a couple years later in the year 21 BBY. Pre Vizsla destabilizes Mandalore in efforts of a Republic intervention. The plan fails. He leads the Death Watch from Concordia. In the year 19 BBY, Darth Maul takes over Death Watch and later Mandalore. Bo-Katan forms a resistance to his leadership.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So Darth Maul is a real big character that we've not seen a whole lot unless you watched Rebels, which I understand he makes a lot of appearances in.
Darth Maul has entered the chat.
Mm-hmm. In that same year, 19BBY, Siege of Mandalore with Republic forces begins. Bo-Katan retakes Mandalore. And next year, in the year 18BBY, Bo-Katan is ousted as the leader of Mandalore by Clan Saxon when she refuses to follow the Empire. Because at this point, the Empire has taken over. Sabine Wren finds the Darksaber on Dathomir and trains to unite Mandalore in favor of the Rebel Alliance. And this is in the year 1BBY. So we got, in that same year, Clan Ren fights Clan Saxon on Mandalore. Sabine gifts the Darksaber to Bo-Katan. So that's how she got a hold of it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So now Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, has happened. So now we've already crossed year zero. And in the year two, after the Battle of Yavin, the Great Purge of Mandalore by the Empire, Night of a Thousand Tears is what they call it. Darksaber is taken by Moff Gideon. So if Mandalore was already uninhabitable, it is even more fucked up now. And we see that because, you know, when he approaches one of those domes in this most recent episode, you see that it's cracked and it's actually letting light in, which, you know, they don't like being seen and shit, you know. And then in the year 9 after ABY, we have the events of season 1 and 2 of The Mandalorian. And on that same year, we have the events that take place in the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, because they cross over. They meet each other.
Mm-hmm. And that's a quick little history for everything Mandalorian. What do you think, Steph?
That's still a lot of information.
That's a lot of TV shows they can make.
Oh, that's too many.
That's a lot of Star Wars,
look,
man.
We're so behind with Bad Batch right now. I need to know where they take place. Oh, no. They take place after
Order 66.
Execute Order 66. Yeah.
That was episode 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I know where they are on in the timeline.
So it's still before that battle takes place. A few years. And I think it's yeah, because at this point now, Anakin is about to turn into Darth Vader right after Order 66.
Yeah.
Just maybe a couple years.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a lot of information.
And, you know, I don't get the impression that Bo-Katan it has the potential to be as menacing as what we just read, at least from what they portrayed in The Mandalorian. I know that she's supposed to be a big deal, and maybe it's because I haven't seen the rest of the Clone Wars and Rebels yet. I'm going to work on it within the next few months. But I guess I don't know. I don't know how big of a part she plays in those. But apparently, based on what we just read, she's a big deal.
Yeah, she is definitely very aggressive in the Mandalorian series. Mm-hmm. She's trying to take back her
Darksaber.
Her Darksaber. She's trying to reclaim the throne. And she's trying to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's putting in some effort. She's putting in some work.
Yeah, but I think she's letting her ego get the best of her by not working with Din.
Yeah, she still very much separates her tribe from his tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But
if they just work together, they can totally like...
Well, I think they kind of did in this last episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of your boy, Baby Grogu.
Grogu. Yeah, so I'm excited, I guess, for these next few episodes. Another thing I wanted to discuss, Steph, we just ended up watching the season finale of The Last of Us.
Yes.
I know that we haven't talked about The Last of Us a whole lot on this show because we were just waiting until the end of the season since it was going to be relatively a short-ish season. What did you think?
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're eating food at a restaurant, and the waitress comes up, "How is your food?" And your face is stuffed. That's exactly what happened just now. I was taking a drink of water and asked me a question. No, I thought the adaptation was very well laid out. They definitely used source material. as it should be used. And they took almost word for word from the game and adapted it to the screen.
And then gave it a little bit more backstory on a lot of these characters.
Yeah, and that's what you need on screen versus in the game. Because in the game, you're playing for 20, 30 hours. You're going to get that backstory. But in the show, you have to kind of condense it or work around those types of storylines. So I felt like they did it in a pretty tasteful way.
And I think the time jumps that they've taken have been really tasteful. Like, you know, when we see Ellie and her best friend in the mall, that was a nice little time jump that we did for like half an episode. In this most recent episode, we saw that little time jump of them going back to when she was born, and you kind of get an idea of why she's immune to this fungus, because her
spoiler
mom...
Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, spoiler alert. We're going to talk about it. You know, her mom got bit and then she cut the umbilical cord, whereas she said she cut the umbilical cord and then got bit. She lied.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that has a lot to do with why she is resistant to this fungus that caused an apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Because a baby that tiny, you know, if it was infected, would have been transformed already.
Yeah.
Especially newborn.
Well, I thought that they did a good job in finding an actress that looked just like her too. Like that actually legitimately looked like a person that would be her mom.
Yeah, that's the voice actress for Ellie in the game.
A word?
Yeah.
Nice. That's okay. They did their homework in this show, man.
Of course. They wanted to get it right. And they did it. They on this last episode, after you watch it, stick around for the behind the scenes on HBO and they tell you all about it.
Yeah. Now, getting over to our other formerly favorite show that we would religiously watch that is somewhat in the same scope of sci-fi, The Walking Dead. They never won an Emmy for any of the seasons. Fucking criminal, right?
11 seasons?
And now we're getting some spinoffs that actually include Rick Grimes. He's back, baby. He's back with a vengeance. Because they weren't making movies anymore, remember? We were talking about how they were going to make a movie about his pretty much his return. And they scrapped it. And now it's just going to be a short season. Spinned off on AMC.
But why?
Because I just told you why. Because it was supposed to be a movie.
No.
And they broke it.
But then, like, there's still... trying to drag this out.
They're really trying to milk the shit out of this.
I don't think we need to have these extra episodes or TV movie or whatever.
Well, you're getting them, and we'll likely watch them and discuss on this show.
Yeah, after we finished the last season. We started it. We were actually pretty far.
Yeah, and then they took their mid-season break, and then we just didn't come back to it.
We didn't come back.
We're halfway there, man. But what I was getting at, how criminal that was, that The Walking Dead, in the height of its powers, didn't get the recognition that I think it should have deserved. Do you think that The Last of Us will see that kind of excitement in the award season?
Probably for adaptation.
Episode 3, for sure.
Writing?
That's Emmy nominated right there. If we got a riot.
I would give them best adaptation if they have something like that.
Screenplay adaptation.
In the Emmys. Mm-hmm. Sound? Costume? No, not costume. What is it? The
effects?
Special effects. Yeah, with the... monsters.
Yeah. The fun guy, the clickers.
The fun guy.
Stupid.
You're stupid.
You're dumb.
You're dumb. We'll be right back.
Yeah. I think it would be, like I said, we would have to riot if it came up with a giant goose egg in award season next year. Now, we'll just have to wait and see. But I mean, as soon as everybody on Monday was around that water cooler talking about episode 3 of this season, a tearjerker, a love story from beginning to end, I think that one was probably the most exciting episode of this entire season. What would you say about that?
What was the question?
What was your favorite fucking episode of this goddamn season, Steph?
okay, definitely episode 3 because that was a tearjerker. Mm-hmm. And then episode 1
mm-hmm.
when we get introduced to everything and all that's happening. I really like the way they introduced the gameplay in the live action.
Yeah, all the signs, the house on fire.
Even that scene where they're in the truck
mm-hmm.
directly out of the game. That really set up the rest of the series for me. It's like, oh man, if they can get this as is, mm-hmm. then the rest of the season has a good outcome.
And you know, I remember you playing this video game. I've never played it, but I watched you play it for hours on end. And the one thing that I do remember, Steph, if nothing else, is you dying continuously throughout this entire goddamn game. I would fall asleep just watching you die over and over again. And it would be like, you know, you do realize what the definition of insanity is, right? You just keep doing the same thing and expect a different result.
How am I supposed to get around?
You were out of bullets. You only had like, what, an axe on you or something?
It's just a knife mm-hmm. that I had to scavenge all the parts for. You had to make your own knife and you had to sharpen it and then you had to put it together. And, you know, it only gets you like 2 or 3 stabs before it falls apart.
Well, anyway, I remember exactly, you know, when you started just dying continuously over and over and over again was in that hospital. And that was and throughout that entire episode, I'll look at you and be like, this is where you kept dying.
It took.
This is where you kept fucking dying in the game.
I kid you not. Like, it took me a week just to get through that.
Uh-huh.
A solid week where it should have only taken me like a couple of hours.
You're just trying to save the chick from getting killed in surgery.
Yeah. And yeah. I didn't know it was coming next. So I tried to reserve as much ammo as I could because I'm just like, well, this is probably not the end. So I need to come out with more than what I had.
Right.
Stupid.
But anyway, did I ever watch you save her and get her out?
No, I think you had left the room or it was just another day where I finally like,
you threw the controller across the room?
I fucking did it. Yeah. I did it. And then the credits started
nobody
rolling.
Nobody cared.
And then I was like, babe, I beat the game.
Nobody cares.
And you weren't even home.
Oh, nice. Well, spoiler alert for me. I finally realized and found out what actually happens at the end of this goddamn game. That's what I was excited about because I was already privy to a lot of the gameplay, you know, that you get in this game.
Which, shit.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. For me, a 9.5 out of 10, I think, for this entire season. I was always entertained. A lot of tearjerkers, a lot of action. I was satisfied.
Yeah.
What kind of rating would you give it there, Steph?
I'm going to give it... fuck. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it was solid for me because I've had played the game before. I understand the changes that they did needed to be done for on screen.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was short. The season was short, which I liked as well. So it didn't drag on. You didn't need to add more fluff.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the short season.
Yeah, and we're going to get season 2. They've already greenlit it, so it's just a matter of when. I don't know. I don't even know if they've started shooting it.
So I'm going to have to finish The Last of Us Part 2.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really watch you play that one a whole lot.
That one, I started.
Does that one still have Joel towards the end? Doesn't he die?
That has Joel in the beginning.
Oh, and then he died.
And I have not finished the game, but I will tell you that he is in the beginning.
Okay, got it.
And I am in the part where I'm
in
this.
I think that's the only part I saw you play.
I'm at the part where I'm in this like sub-basement and there's water everywhere and I literally only have 3 shotgun bullets and I can't go back because I saved over a file, so I'm going to have to restart the whole fucking game again.
Or you can watch season 2.
No.
And just figure out what happens.
I dust off old PlayStation.
Good old Bessie over here. I don't know. But Yeah, man. We hope you enjoyed The Last of Us as much as we did. I was just always happy when I saw that goddamn show for the last 8 weeks. Good stuff, man.
Yes.
Good stuff. Anyway, that's gonna do it for Geeking Out.
Nerd!
Let's put a cap on this with a little music news. Well, Steph, you're not going to believe it. It's official, and it hasn't happened since the year that we were born. Not since 1987 has vinyl outsold CDs in the United States.
Vinyl?
Vinyl has outsold CDs in this country. From the Recording Industry Association of America, music consumers bought more than 41 million vinyl units in 2022 compared to 33 million CDs, which is up 3% from 40 million units in 2021. CD sales were also down a whopping 28% from 47 million.
Damn.
I know. And remember when cassettes tried to make a little comeback? Just as a real, like, a novelty.
Yeah, a lot of indie bands were doing the cassette thing as a little added bonus. Like, oh, buy the vinyl box set or whatever, mm-hmm. and we'll throw in a tape deck. Nobody had like a Walkman or anything. Well, or
you
a tape player. Yeah,
you
but
could get one.
But they didn't. They just had it.
Or, I mean, every garage across America probably has one lying around somewhere.
Hmm.
You just got to dig it out. Interestingly enough, though, the pop genre ruled the vinyl landscape, and that just goes to show that that's why they outsold last year's numbers. Taylor Swift led that pack, selling an impressive 945,000 copies of Midnights, followed by Harry Styles. Harry's House sold 480,000 vinyls. Olivia Rodrigo's Sour, 263,000. Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, 254,000 vinyls. And Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, 243,000 vinyl records. I mean, it's kind of the way to go. Considering everything is digital, if you want that physical media, vinyl just makes it so worth it because it's big and you can unfold it and you can touch it and you can handle it and put it on the record, put the pin on. It's very satisfying, you know?
Not only that, but you get something in addition to the music, mm-hmm. which you don't really see anymore, is you get artwork.
You get the artwork and the lyrics, yeah. But like in larger print than you would a little CD.
Yeah, or just something on your phone. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah. And we've actually got a couple of vinyls over the years.
It is now. It wasn't a few years ago and nobody cared about vinyl still, but it is now an expensive hobby if you are trying to be a vinyl collector. I mean, what the average vinyl is going for like $30 to $40. If you get a double album, it's like well over $50.
Yeah, I remember when Amoeba was in its original location in Hollywood.
It was set in Ivar, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would peruse the vinyl section. I remember finding the cheapest vinyl I bought was this Yes vinyl collection. Yeah. It's a two-disc track.
It was a live show, right?
It was a live show. It was an evening with Yes. And it was, guess how much it was?
Hmm.
It was $6.99.
Nice. And that same live album would probably go for maybe 10 times that now. Because it's a double album.
Most definitely. When we were at Rhino Records, I think a couple months ago, mm-hmm. I was checking out the vinyls and I was like, let me just see how much some of these are. And you're absolutely right with the prices. There was a soundtrack for Edward Scissorhands that was going for like $40.
Used though, right? Wasn't it used?
No, this was new.
Brand new? Okay.
Yeah. So, it's definitely something you got to put money away for if you're looking to collect some of the more well-known artists,
mm-hmm.
some of the classic artists. Other than that,
They're doing a lot of reissues. A lot of these older labels are doing a lot of reissues, so you can get an old artist's new work almost.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they reprint, they remaster, they do all that good stuff for the new generation.
And what you want to look for is like a limited edition, like, oh, this is copy 100 out of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And like it has the serial number on it. Those are even more collectible.
Yeah. And so it's more of an investment really at this point. But I mean, if you're looking at it that way, that means that you got to be prepared to let it go in the future,
mm-hmm.
you know, to sell it. And I don't know, collectors kind of, there's that duality that fights with itself. Do I keep it because it has like an emotional connection to me, or do I let it go and do what I set off to do and make an investment to then sell off for a lot more? I don't know. In 20 years, do you think vinyl will still be as exciting as it is today?
I think so, because you're not going to find another method or another platform in which to get that particular sound,
mm-hmm.
that crispy...
It's a wide range. It's not compressed.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to explain unless you actually hear it.
But I got to say, Apple Music, the platform, they've been doing a lot to improve on the audio. You know, back when iTunes was first a thing, you know, all we had to deal with were these MP3s that were, in a lot of the times, they were heavily compressed. So you wouldn't get the high highs, you wouldn't get the low lows, you'd get a lot of mids in these tracks that were just super compressed into MP3s, something that really should be 80 to 100 megabytes ended up being compressed into 3 to 4 megabytes. So, you know, in the interest of dealing with a 56K modem and trying to download as many of these things as possible on your Kazaa. But, you know, with the vinyl now, and now with Apple Music trying to accommodate people's faster data now in 2023, they do have that lossless audio quality in Apple. Spotify is more focusing on their social aspect of music sharing. So they're very successful and they're really good at what they do. But if you're like me, if you're a musician who cares about the quality, then that's why I stick with Apple Music, because they have sacrificed them not being the number one music app to really give you the quality. And it's kind of one of those things where you have to search for music on your own rather than it being pushed off in front of your face like Spotify does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much... It's all about you. You do the exploring, and that's just who I am too. I like to do the exploring of music rather than being told what to listen to. I think you're kind of the same way too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I appreciate that about Apple Music. It's just a shame that they're not, you know, the number one music source for the majority of the planet. But for those who understand it and care, I will say Apple Music really is doing good by us by providing that close to vinyl quality in their platform. So anyway, moving on. Did you know Panic at the Disco just played their last show on Mario Day?
That's right.
On Friday, March 10th, man, they played their final show ever at the AO Arena in Manchester, England. They'll be back. It's going to be like Kiss.
Our Phil World Tour.
They're currently on now, by the way.
You better buy the tickets if you want to go see Kiss, because this is definitely their last show. They will not be playing after any like of these times? Tour dates. So you better get online and get ready to slam down some credit card paying machines.
Right.
That didn't make any sense.
Anyway, you know, the reason why Brandon Urie is leaving the band is because he just had a kid and he wants to be around to raise him. Go figure.
Understandable.
Yeah, but he's not the only rock star who had a kid while, you know.
I know. Look at Mick Jagger. He's still pumping them out.
Yeah. So something tells me he wants to just be with his kid for at least, you know, his growing years. And he's going to get the band back together. I'd be surprised if it never, ever happened again. I'm just saying, people like money.
Well, not only that, but I don't know how it is because... you know, I'm not a musician, but like being up on the stage gives you a different feeling that you're not going to get anywhere else, mm-hmm. right? So like you're going to miss that aspect of your life unless you absolutely didn't like it in the first place.
Right.
In which you're okay from stepping away with it.
Do you think he'll do a solo project? Maybe that's another thing?
Possibly, but I know he did Broadway for a while. He was doing Kinky Boots during, I think it was during the pandemic or pre-pandemic.
Okay.
So he was on stage for a while.
That isn't...
For like a season or two, I think. So that's a different way.
That requires touring too, though, theater. If it's a touring show, not all of them are.
You don't have to tour with them.
Oh, yeah. They can franchise it into other companies.
Right. You can do you can do a regional stint.
Yeah.
Instead of like...
That's true.
You know,
yeah, like
national.
We saw the Book of Mormon, luckily with the original cast when we saw them. That's why it was a big deal when we saw them.
We saw the LA cast.
That wasn't the original cast?
That was not the original cast.
I thought a lot of them traveled.
A lot of them did travel, but we had the added bonus of Josh Gad being the lead role, and that was here in California.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why it was a cool show.
Yeah.
Lastly, Steph, you brought this up to me. I think it might have been yesterday, but speaking of the Oscars, Jamie Lee Curtis was on our screens for the entire Oscars event, and you brought up that she did an interview some days ago where... She wants earlier concerts. She says, I want to hear Coldplay at 1 p.m. And I don't disagree with her. She has a very valid question. Why are there no matinees for concerts, Steph?
Right? Because if you see anybody during the day, it's going to be like a festival where it's a whole day event. It's right. Not just like...
The one band playing their three-hour show or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally agree with her. Like, I would love to just wake up knowing that I'm going to an afternoon matinee, rock out, have some drinks, you know, wind down, go back home, and then...
And it's still 9 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, and you're in your jammies, and you go to sleep at a reasonable time.
Exactly.
Yeah. While walking the red carpet at Independent Spirit Awards, Jamie Lee had a little chat with the Hollywood Reporter, and that's where she kind of unloaded. She's just like, after mentioning how she declined an invite to the Academy Awards dinner due to it starting at 7:30 p.m. because mommy goes to bed early and because 7:30 is going to be 9 before we get food. Ain't that the goddamn truth? And you know what? There's nothing good happening with me after 9 o'clock. Nothing. Zero. She also said, I'm going to just say now as a taunt and as a suggestion, you too, do a matinee. Coldplay, do a matinee. What about 12 noon concert, Coldplay? What about it? Bruce Springsteen, do a fucking matinee. You're old. Why wouldn't you let me come see you, Bruce Springsteen, in your glory days, pun intended, and do it at noon or 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock matinee.
Right.
I love that idea. I love
it. Oh, man. Right?
If I can go see Pearl Jam at right after lunch... That would be a sick ass day.
Why?
You still have the rest of the day to do activities.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know.
Or drive home at least.
I don't know how it is for the band, right? They can adjust their schedule. We're going to make this happen. We're going to make the bands adjust their schedules so they have to actually wake up early and set all their shit up. No more sleeping in, musicians.
Well, you know, a lot of it doesn't have to do much with the musicians. Being a musician myself and having to set up shows. Now, we don't do these stadiums and arenas, but I can imagine proportionally how many hours that takes to put that equipment up. Mm. So I think by the time they're done, they want to take a couple of hours of a breather and actually put on the show. I remember like setting up a lot of the shows that me and my band do, and I'm tired by the time we actually start playing already because of all the equipment we have to haul in.
It would, yeah. I guess if matinees were to happen,
they'd have to start in the middle of the night.
Bands would have to take more days between shows, mm-hmm. probably to allow for setup.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's just say they're playing in LA. They set up one day, like previous day. Concert the next day, take it down, then fly out.
Yeah.
So you're probably only going to one or two, or they're realistically, bands might only play one or two shows. during the week if we were going to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so that means less shows, less money coming in. Probably not so sustainable, assuming that that's the reason why they don't do it. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible because theater does it. Theaters have matinees, and that's a whole production, but they kind of stay put.
They do. What? Okay, so what if it was like a, not an every concert type of thing? Mm-hmm. Still have your nighttime concerts, but what if like every so often, like one every 3 months, special matinee?
For olds?
For the olds. Must be 55 plus.
Must show your AARP card on the way in. Yeah. I don't hate the notion of it. I don't know. I'm for it. I'm here for it.
You know, I guess I am being a little aggressive with like, probably because I don't understand a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if it's possible.
It's not impossible. It just maybe takes a little bit more effort and money.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, if there's any bands out there who can do it, it's the ones that she named, for sure. Coldplay, U2, Bruce Springsteen, they can make it happen. Rolling Stones.
Do you think they have the resources for it?
Yeah, they got the resources for it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm on team Jamie Lee Curtis for this one.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to do it for music news. And the show, man. Now, next week... I don't know how we're going to record an episode, Steph, because my band's recording a new song. It's going to take pretty much all weekend. Mm. We might have to record early Saturday. Does that work with you?
I have a dentist appointment.
You have a dentist appointment that you thought you were going to have yesterday.
Yesterday.
And you, what happened there? You just misplaced it on your calendar?
No, it was actually correctly placed on the calendar, but in my mind, I had moved it up.
Hmm.
And that's just what happens.
Is that your little kind of theme song for when you fuck up? And that's just what happens.
You can make it a little jingle.
Great, great. All right, well, I think we've said and done enough here. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right.
It's all right.
Thank you also very much for listening into the Foo Bar Show, and a special thanks to you foos who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foos. Remember to pick up some swag at foobarshow.com. That's foobarshow.com, and follow foobarshow on our socials, and we'll fill it up like a couple of foos. I've been Josie.
And I'm Steph.
Signing off, saying...